views and opinions expressed by hosts, invited speakers, and callers do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Black Talk Media Project or the Black Talk Radio Network.
On this Wednesday night, November the 18th, 2015. And I hope that everyone is doing well out there. We have a great show lined up for us tonight. We are talking about the Paris attacks. So many people are saying the Paris attacks was a false flag. And if you're not familiar with false flags and psyops, we'll play a couple of clips for you. And we're also discussing U.S. Attorney General Loretta Lynch's decision to not mandate record keeping from each and every police department on the number of people that are killed by police officers. I know it sounds incredulous to some, but I'm going to play a video for you when you can hear her. You can hear her saying it from her own mouth, not just an article. We will play the video so that you yourself can hear it. And we are also talking about Executive Order 13603. The only person that I have actually heard discussing this is Brother Dick Gregory, and of course, our very own Mother Hattie. She will join us later on. Mother Hattie actually brought this Executive Order 13603 to my attention, I guess maybe a couple of months ago. And so we are going to discuss that as well. And also, we're going to talk about some Black TV shows. This season, there are a number of Black stars and shows. So I just want to hear, what do you think in regards to some of the shows that are being broadcasted? You know, a lot of people talk about different shows and Black actors and actresses that are cooning or just outrageous. For instance, what is it, Love and Hip Hop? Canty, do you watch Love and Hip Hop? Hey, Aja, welcome in, Canty. Welcome in, Aja. Namaste.
Hi, everybody. No, I don't watch it. I don't watch it. Well,
yeah, sorry. I don't watch Love and Hip Hop. I don't watch, I don't watch a lot of things. Namaste. And there's a lot of those shows that I don't watch. When I do watch something, I watch it for edutainment purposes. I like to decipher
it. That's right.
Mm-hmm. And then sometimes I just watch these shows, you know, because of us being in the media. Sometimes I do want to kind of be familiar with some of these shows so that I can give my comments, just in case anybody call me and want to hear what I have to say. Some people do like to hear what I have to say. So I try to watch some of them, but I just don't have time to watch all of them. And some of them I'm just really not going to watch. Like, there's no reason for me to watch Housewives or Love and Hip Hop. Because I basically know what those shows are about. The reality shows, I just really don't do. And I did used to watch Atlanta Housewives when it first came on. And
you
I'll
did.
Tell you why. Yeah, and let me tell you why. Because I have a very good reason or explanation, because I don't have to give a reason. But a good explanation as to why I watched it. I watched Atlanta Housewives, Candy, King B, because when it first came out, I am, 44? So all my life growing up, and I know that you can bear witness to this, Aja, and you as well, Candy,
yes.
We had to watch white people on TV, white women swinging their hair, white women doing this, white women doing that, white women cooking, white women dancing, white women this, white women, white, 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 And I just got tired of seeing so many damn white folks on TV. So when finally, when you can see some decent looking black women on the television screen, just like when, what was that, when Waiting to Exhale came out. Oh my God, black women, we were like, hallelujah,
hallelujah.
Yes. We were, okay, Asha, close your door because I'm hearing myself. Oh, yeah, you can hear feedback. So anyway, I was just really, really excited to see black women on TV. Black women, you know, with the makeup on and looking good. Not in the kitchen cooking with a maid uniform on.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
I was really elated to see just some black women. And the first few seasons of, like, Atlanta Housewives and those kind of shows, they were actually showing them, like, at their charity events, different things that they would do, a little bit. But then it got a little raunchy, and then the fighting and all of that. And, you know, I'm like, oh, okay, so they're, you know, making the sisters, the TV producers are making the sisters, you know, act wretched and just outrageous, just too outrageous. So I
throwing bottles, throwing wine bottles, slapping each other.
Yeah, all of that. Yeah. I just said, oh no, I can't do this. I can't do that. So I don't watch those shows. But there's a whole list, and I'm gonna get this list up. There's a whole list of various thespians on some of the black shows. For instance, Viola Davis. We know she just won her first Emmy for her portrayal of the lawyer in How to Get Away with Murder. I do watch that. It's a very good show. I love anything legal. I love anything political. Like, I love House of Cards because that's a political show on Netflix. I think it was on HBO or Showtime or something when it was on cable. I don't know, but it's on Netflix.
Yeah.
So, you know, I watch that. Right. So I love sci-fi. I love comedy. There's another one I'm watching now, Fringe. But these are not black shows, Fringe and House of Cards, I'm just mentioning. I do love political dramas and anything dealing with, what did I say, political dramas. What else is it? I love my comedies. I love my drama. But now I noticed that, like, what is this show, Blackish, with let me see.
Yeah, that's like sputtering, like, you know, it's like, do you guys get the subliminal message that Anthony Williams is trying to get across?
I've never watched it.
You know,
I have to admit.
I have to be honest with you. I watched probably like 10 or 15 minutes of it, and I didn't like that 10 or 15 minutes that I tried to watch it. I did. Because I said, okay, this would be one of those shows that I watch for edutainment, to watch it and just decipher it and see what type of messages are being produced in the movie. But the whole name of it, Blackish, that's what threw me off from the get-go.
Yeah. That threw me off too. I knew it was some kind of ulterior motive behind that name, the title.
And the script was like going back the same as the late Bernie Mac show. You remember Bernie Mac show?
Yeah,
I remember Bernie Mac show.
It was just like a plane that just couldn't leave the main runway. It barely left the tarmac, but it couldn't leave the runway. And the main runway.
The main runway.
For takeoff. It was just taxiing. And I said, get on with it. When you was in the nightclubs or even the original Kings of Comedy, that was Shining Hour. That film was made by Spike Lee, original Kings of Comedy. You saw the best of this brother. What's his name? The comedian. I just mentioned his name. Damn, boy. Oh, God.
Bernie Mac?
Thank you, Bernie Mac. You saw that the best of Bernie Mac was when he started the original Kings of Comedy. Everything else since that, even the movie made about another version of Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. You know, that was a real...
I didn't see that.
He got a paycheck. That's all it was. He got a paycheck.
He got a paycheck, huh?
That's all it was. Nothing to give him, so we say, to get him airborne. You know, he was denuded, defamed, and declawed. And right by that time, he began taking on this bizarre illness. And before we knew it,
prostatosis. Yeah. So stuff we never heard about these people. They come up with all these brand new diseases. I never heard of scarcidosis before.
And he had. He had the money to go into Cuba, or actually, possibly this was definitely Cuba. If the good Lord didn't want you, you could be technically playing your funeral arrangement. He was going to make a comeback. All those years, this government, this new Castro was going to die from his cancer. That piece of crap called Cunha Sleaza. She had the nerve to tell the Cuban people, if you want to overthrow your government, we'll support you. Castro just wouldn't die. Unfortunately, they couldn't save Hugo Chavez because Hugo Chavez was way too late to realize that he was being poisoned. And unfortunately, these unseen faces, designers click in the CIA and MI, was it MI5? They are constantly wreaking havoc. Wreaking havoc. And this is why, you get a comedian like Dick Gregory, it's just amazing. He is still with us when he mentioned a lot of these controversial things that people don't want to believe that he is in his right mind, but Gregory doesn't have a following. So a lot of people figure, well, he's going senile. He's an old man. He's getting old. He's getting senile. So people don't pay him no mind. And the ones that should pay him, hello? I'm going to make some noise back there. The ones that should pay him mind.
Not me.
Should pay him, somebody's making noise.
That's
my daddy.
John does moving around.
Hey, my daddy. Keep still, y'all. Keep still now. the very idea. We're talking about. Gregory went into the deep catharsis as to how Dr. King was murdered, how JFK was murdered, and black people don't want to believe what a black man says about a conspiracy theory. Because it didn't come from a white man.
And you know what? That's why I made sure that I downloaded some clips from some of these white folks. Because you know how y'all Negroes love. You can't believe it. If we say it, you got to hear it from a white person. So I made sure that I mixed in a couple of white boys for y'all to listen to. I'm really waiting on Mother Dunham to come online. Because she's one of the main people that needs to hear some of these clips. I even got her a white boy, Christian boy, talking about at the end of his little speech. He go through the Savior Jesus Christ and something in the blood of Jesus and da 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 and something saved by the blood of Jesus, whatever, some stuff he say like that. But I got that one especially for her, and I'm just waiting on her to call in. Aja, can you click over and call Delta, you have her number.
Okay.
To call in. We're waiting on her because I definitely want to play this clip. But I think that, hey, Mother Hattie, you there yet?
I am here. I had it on mute, so I didn't want to butt in a little bit ago when your dog.
Hey, Mother Hattie, how you doing?
Hi, how are you doing? You okay?
Well, I'm getting there. You know, like, I got this kind of funny thing with the heat system in my building, so. When it's cold outside, it's not going to be super. He goes by the temperature, not with the wind chill. So, I got to wait till I see his boss tomorrow to tell him, on him again. He just don't get the message. When it's the wind chill. Yeah, you know, when it's a wind chill outside, you don't go by what the temperature is. You go by what it feels like. And it feels like 45 degrees outside, not 55 or in the 50s. It's like 45, sure enough, feel right. But the weatherman always give you the wind chill. All right, so, you know, Richard Pryor even said, if the white man said so, it must be so. That's how he felt that black people are, we don't listen to anything unless it comes from the white media. If the white man don't say so, then it ain't so. What you saying, are you full of the devil or something's wrong? You know, you're losing your mind. To say something outlandish, what you're saying, oh, no way that could be possible.
No way.
We done lost JFK, who is the last president who thought he was in charge. We lost his brother Bobby. We lost Dr. King. And Dr. King and Bobby died in close succession. The same year. The same freaking year. Then we lost Malcolm X before Dr. King. We lost before Malcolm X. We lost Medgar Evers. And we lost the strange death of Adam Clayton Powell, who was about to formulate a third party. And he realized that Harlem was sold to the biggest bidder, and it was the Gang of Four that was doing it. And he said the Gang of Four, as long as they are still around, he would not retire from Congress. This man here, he offered bills. Most of these black elected officials, I call them selected officials, they don't write bills. Adam offered bills and got them enforced. And we're living off of some of this effort today, but they're being watered down to nothing, and we've got no help from the Congressional Black Caucus. Ain't definitely got no help from Loretta Lynch.
Well, you know, okay, speaking of Loretta Lynch, hold on.
Please,
let me see. Kansas, because you know, can't get on their roll, baby. Can't get ready to let you know what the business is. No, that's right. Let me, I think this is a clip from, first I want to play this one by, what's her name? Yvette Carnell, she's the one that came out and kind of, first, like, blasted, the whole, Farrakhan Second Million Man March. And I can't quite remember what she said because, I can't even say I can't remember. I really didn't even listen to it. And I mean, not that I don't like her, because I do listen to her, but I didn't really listen to that one because I mean I heard so many other people personally speaking about it. So, but anyway, let me play this one. I think that this is her thoughts on Loretta Lynch not requiring police officers to keep records, and then I will play Loretta Lynch speaking to that issue. So let me just play this one quickly. Maybe Mother Donna can call in. One second. Should be coming on up. Why you tripping, thingy? Uh-oh. Something happened here.
Blank tape?
It's the whole system shut down on me. Speaking of which, Mother Hattie, I did mention to you how
I still got
my
it
computer.
Up. I'll try to play it for you. Yeah.
Okay.
Give me just a second.
Okay. It says reconnecting me.
Okay. What clip is it?
It's two Loretta Lynch's in there. This one is like 9 minutes. The first one that I want to play.
The first one you want to play is it dated 11/16? Let me see.
Oh, let me see if I can even see it. Okay, the one that says, no, this is 5 minutes. It says Loretta Lynch doesn't want.
Oh, okay. I'm in the wrong place. I'm in the wrong place. Okay, I'll find it. Loretta, you want me to play the one on Loretta Lynch? Okay. Doesn't want. Okay.
Thanks, Scotty.
All right, got it.
Oh, there Delta is. Delta just on time. Come on, Delta.
Hey, Breaking Brown fam. Hey, Your Black World family. And I'm just here today, and I just want to tell you, and you may consider it being a hater or whatever, but I just want to say that I, for one, will be so happy I'm exhausted. I will be so happy when Barack Obama is no longer the president of these United States. And let me
thank you.
Why. Let me just provide you with
thank you.
Because examples are much better than me just sitting here and saying I don't like the president. I saw an article from, I think it was late last week, where Loretta Lynch, who is your new black attorney general, and you know, you all were so excited that we have a black attorney general again, the first female black attorney general. You know how we love our symbolism.
Yeah.
And the most amazing thing is that Loretta Lynch said that there's no reason, or she doesn't understand why she's not going to mandate that police departments keep a record of the number of people that they kill. Now, let me tell you something. Right now, the only reason we have a record of the number of people killed by police is because The Guardian, which is a UK-based newspaper, is providing us with data on how many people the police slaughter in the United States of America. Now that's right. Your America. And in explaining that, I think she was in an interview with Chuck Todd, Loretta Lynch basically said, well, you know, that's a lot on police departments. We'll encourage them to keep records, but we're not going to mandate. These are a lot of smaller departments and so on and so forth and that sort of thing, and we're not going to mandate that they do that. But if you don't mandate that they keep records, you can't hold them accountable for the number of people that they actually kill. You can't. If you don't mandate that they report that to the federal government, how in the world do you plan on doing anything to change police violence? And that's exactly what's not going to happen. By saying that we should improve community relations, and the problem is, you know, the problem is basically, according to Loretta Lynch, you know, there's some problems in terms of how, you know, the community gets along with police. Listen, this isn't a relationship. This isn't a romantic or even a family relationship. What you basically have here is a lot of poor people, a lot of disenfranchised people, and those people have to go somewhere. So those people are not going to go to work because the jobs are gone and those jobs aren't coming back. You know, McCain said that, everybody's like, oh, McCain doesn't understand the economy. No, and McCain was right. The jobs are gone and they're not coming back. Now, McCain may not be a good politician. He's a scoundrel just like everybody else in Washington. But on this issue, he's right. They're not coming back. So what are you going to do with those poor people who are disproportionately black and brown? What are you going to put in jail? And so that's what we're seeing happening. Now, I just want to put out a question. I'm not trying to be mean, but I just want to put out a question to my deltas out there in terms of, you know, the sorority. Why did you put your weight behind this woman? Like, honestly, as a premier, you know, a black sorority, you put your weight. I remember Reverend Al Sharpton, give Loretta Lynch a vote. They're holding it up because she's black. Do you honestly believe that the candidate of Rudy Giuliani, who is a notorious protector of the police state, a notorious protector of police at all costs, who supported Loretta Lynch? Do you honestly believe, in your right mind, on your best day, do you believe this guy would be supporting Loretta Lynch if she was really what Al Sharpton and everybody else said she was? If she was really, you know, this premier African American woman, you know, with how we love our careers, the accomplishment. She is, you know, she has a stellar career. That doesn't mean that she's gonna do anything for black people. That doesn't mean that she's gonna do anything for poor people in terms of protecting poor people from the police. That doesn't mean anything. The fact that she has a stellar black background in terms of what stellar means in terms of American politics. So, I mean, it's very sad that I look at the way that my deltas went to bat for this woman. I look at the way that black people were, you know, give her a vote, you know, as if we are somehow invested in Loretta Lynch's success. And now she's there. And what was the first thing she did after she became a attorney general? She went on a tour to talk to police about the problems that they've been having. They've been so victimized, even though you know, it's more difficult to, you know, it's more deadly to be a trash man than to be a police officer. But that's what she did. She went on a tour to, you know, let the police officers lay on her breast and tell them, you know, what the problem was and what you were facing. And what about the people who have been killed? So far,
that's
it's about
right.
over 800 people have been killed by
thousand.
Police. I think this year
it's
we're headed
thousand.
Towards, like, I think the year predicted 1,500. And this is what Loretta Lynch is doing.
Now.
She is only encouraging police to keep those records. So I you know, again, this whole idea of just being down with somebody because they're Black, somebody who doesn't have your best interest, doesn't want the same things that you want. I mean, I think it's time that Black people address that and address this idea of racial collectivism for the sake of collectivism, as if that's getting us anywhere. Come on, people, we're smarter than that. At least I thought we were.
Can I say something?
Yeah, as soon as the clip is over. I think the clip is over.
Okay.
Let me see. I think that's it. Yeah.
That
All right, Kent. What you got?
Okay. The police nationwide, they have this clause where they can wait 48 hours. They have that right to wait 48 hours before they can answer any questions by their supervisors when they kill someone in cold blood. Okay. Then there's also your DAs, no matter what county they're in, they have the propensity to let the killer cops walk free. They do not have the desire to put away killer cops. It's got to be awfully boldacious, sheriff or police commissioner to put a cop away who commits murder, especially if the victim is Black. Now, out there in Minnesota, God bless those Blacks out there. They got the police going crazy. They arrested quite a few, but the Blacks keep coming back. They're not backing down. They want to have a federal investigation of the killing of this unarmed Black man who was handcuffed. Police trying to say he wasn't handcuffed. They took the cuffs off of him before he was shot. So why would you take the cuffs off when he's in police custody originally with the cuffs on? Why would you take the cuffs off? You know, this is so, and they are pathological liars. And unfortunately for our people, many times we are intimidated by the blue gangsters in blue uniform. So we don't want to get involved because of fear of reprisals when we go to our homes, go to our jobs. Driving our cars. So we don't want to have any houses with these thugs in blue uniforms. But the idea is that this is the problem. We tolerate these gangsters in blue uniforms. And we have zero tolerance for the gangsters in blue jeans. But we have this unbelievable tolerance for these gangsters in blue uniforms that think nothing of killing a Black person in cold blood. I'm waiting for the day when they shoot a pregnant Black woman in the back.
Well,
I
they beat them and kick them. Hold on, Cancer. Let me ask Mother Hattie something, because, you know, Mother Hattie's right there in Minnesota. So what's going on with those protests up there? Mother Hattie, I see her. Come on off mute. Mother Hattie? Okay, well, she's up there in Minnesota.
Okay, there you go. I'm trying this phone. I got phone troubles. I came off mute, but it wouldn't come off mute. They didn't want to come off mute. You know, they'd be messing with you, Mother Hattie. No, they don't mess with me. They love me. Yeah, they love all of us. They love us. I'm fantasizing tonight, you all. Let me have my fantasy for 1 minute.
Yeah.
Let me take that. 5 seconds to do me.
Come on out of the matrix.
I know that's right. Yeah. I was looking at that. Actually, on Monday, when we went over there, there were people. They had put up the Black Lives Matter sign, pasted it on the, attached it to the 4th precinct, set up some tents in the front, said they were not leaving until these demands were met. And then they shut down 94, the NAACP president led that.
Wow, that's remarkable.
We passed by there. I passed that way. Sometimes every day, if my main highway is blocked to take my children to school, and so people were out there early that morning. They've been very diligent in doing that, and that is and was what was going on. They were saying that the young man was shot while he was handcuffed. However, the reason he was in trouble is because, quote, supposedly,
The girl called him, called the cops on him because he was beating her, battering, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And the word was, and this is just, of course, all allegations, nobody knows, and like you said, because of the integrity of some officers and because of
lack thereof,
the spin on the media, you really never know what's happening for quite a while after you really go through this. But I don't have any sympathy. I really have to say this for anybody that beats women. I'm sorry.
No. If he beats women,
if that be the case, I'm not saying you cuff them and kill them, but I'm saying
no.
I don't have any for that. However, you should have integrity enough in your law enforcement to do things the right way and take the person in and let them go through the process and not be judge, jury, and executioner.
Okay.
That's
exactly.
Yes. Hey, may I chime in before we go to break? I'm sorry.
Yesterday when I was going back by there, they were not allowing people to pass through that area. I guess they didn't want anybody looking at Black Lives Matter hung up there on front of the precinct and the tents out in the front, which I thought was rather odd that they were protesting and allowing it to last that long. So today about 2-3 o'clock, it was probably about 1 o'clock, 1 to 2 o'clock, they stormed in on them and took the sign down and pushed them out of there and arrested the people. Quite a few.
Okay, hold on just a second, Mother Hattie. I know we have to take a station break. We went over a couple of minutes. And I think Scotty was trying to get in and make a comment.
Yes, thank you. And thank you for bringing up the domestic violence aspect of it, because we can't be sweeping things under the rug and not address all the problems.
Absolutely.
And some people would say, and I would say, if you was being a constructive person, the police wouldn't have came there. You know what I'm saying? So I don't advocate that people call the police on their people, but domestic violence is a serious issue. People lose their lives. It's not, and it's not a gender issue either. All right. Because it happens in the gay community, they be beating on each other and killing each other.
Right.
So it's not a gender issue. It's not a sexual orientation issue. It's an issue that needs to be addressed. Now, with that said, that's entirely separated from the extrajudicial killing that you pointed out. And then they are the last ones to be judging somebody on domestic violence because of court. Because experts from my research, because I talk about the issue, because I care about the issue, and a lot more issues. But from my research, the number one most credible organization, I think it's policingandwomen.org, policingandwomen.org. I looked that up, but they said that police commit domestic violence against their partners at twice the national rate. So you think about that. You think about any the domestic violence.
I heard it was three times.
I'm sorry. Thank you for correcting me. It's up to four times, actually. It's four times rate of other families. Police families suffer four times the rate of domestic violence than the general population. So what we see going on in our communities just quadrupled that in their community.
Yes.
And they not even policing themselves, but they helping domestic violence abusers get away with their crimes, like they help these people get away with killing people extrajudicially.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I wanted to point out. Thank you.
Thank you. That's a good point, Scotty. You want to take us to a break, or we just going to bypass it?
We'll go to a short break.
Okay, let's take a quick break, and then we're going to come back with Delta Cougar and some hot topics. You're listening to the Lotus Place Radio tonight on this Wednesday night. Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Are you searching for the best in online black radio? Then go to blacktalkradionetwork.com, helping you filter through the noise. Real talk, Black Talk.
And we are back here at the Lotus Place. Delta, do you have any hot topics for us?
Yeah, but can I make a quick comment, please?
Of course.
I want to make a comment on what Ice and Hot was saying about the killing and the domestic violence. Okay, I want to let Ms. Hattie know. They said on the news today that Minnesota had became the new Ferguson, and also they did arrest a lot of them, Ms. Hattie. I mean, Ice and Hot, and hold them off, but they came back. They did come back. The people are not backing down. They did arrest a lot of them and tuck them away, but they said on the news the people have came back and they are not backing down. And yes, he was wrong.
Oh,
they're
led by Sister Nakima, Nakima Levy Pounds. She on Facebook. She is the Minnesota Attorney of the Year. She is a Black Lives Matter activist and a chapter head of the NAACP, so she wears many crowns and whatnot, and she is a true trooper, and she's a new abolitionist. You can hear her on our archives and New Abolitionist Radio, her telling people it's slavery. The 13th Amendment never abolished slavery. They've been lying to you for 150 years. And this is an attorney, and she isn't the only attorney that has said that. So that's the kind of sister and the leadership that they got on their hands up there. That's why they ain't backing down.
Well, she's also a professor at the University of St. Thomas. And we did rally for her. Remember when they did the Mall of America arrest of all those people out there?
Mm-hmm. I remember that.
Okay, she was arrested, but the interesting thing was, way back then, they only arrested one white person. The rest of them were African-American people that were arrested. She was one that was arrested. And finally, I think the prosecutor, they said they were going to dismiss those charges. I don't think it has completely ended right now. And the really nice thing is the University of St. Thomas has stood hand in hand with her saying, look, this is the right thing to do. The University of St. Thomas has been a very strong equal rights, justice, supporting kind of university here in this area. It's really one that should be and be commended, because the Black educators, we work with them for years. So she is also, she's held in very high esteem around here. And it's a, and I'm going to go back to the Mall of America arrest. Most of those protesters there were white. And so people could see the glaring racism in that, that the most of them that were arrested, with the exception of one white person in there, to say that they weren't totally, totally biased, I guess. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, but the people that I saw over there, to be very honest with you, on Monday, they were mostly white people. And today, it was mostly black people. So this is a real good combination of black and white people saying, you know, enough is enough. And you won't see this on probably a lot of the national news, because Minnesota has a very good way of squashing out its inadequacies in the mainstream media. It likes to keep things hush hush because it likes to have a reputation of being this great liberal state, when in fact I never saw the kind of racism until I moved here, to be honest with you. I heard about it, but I never saw it. And I've been fighting it since I came here and doing all kinds of things. And so it's really been pretty, it's been pretty bad the last 10, 15 years. It's just absolutely, off the charts.
It is clear why this woman named Loretta Lynch is clueless, rendering her to be useless, because the police know that she has made it easier for them to commit their atrocities, and they don't have to be held accountable. There's nothing like a crooked racist cop knowing that he's got a way out to continue his atrocities. They don't have to worry about the consequences of his actions. And when you kill a black, who gives a damn? Black witnesses.
Mother Dunham, come on with your hot topics, Delta, because we have some clips we need to play. I have a clip I certainly want to play. We have a
situation right here in Mississippi. I forgot what part, but I do know it's in Mississippi. And it was a white man in his 30s put on Facebook that he had a 4-year-old daughter and he wanted to sell her for sex. And he put her on the Facebook and reached out and told, you know, how much he wanted her to. I guess he was making her a prostitute is what he said. And she was going to be a child prostitute. So somebody saw it on Facebook and they thought it was a joke. But really, the police went in undercover and pretended like he wanted to come and have sex. And sure enough, when the police made it to the house and went in, the man had the baby laying in the bed, butt naked, 4 years old, waiting for 4 years
old. That's what I heard, right?
4 years old. Look it up. It was on Facebook. He put it on there. He wanted to make his daughter a prostitute. And
what state is it?
To me, in Mississippi. And he took her and put it on Facebook. And someone saw it and turned me into the law. And the law called and pretended like they wanted to book a date. And show
that sickens me. It sickens me to my stomach.
And he had the
now
baby
that's who
in
needs
there.
To, that's who needs to be executed.
Mm-hmm. Well, he had
those
the baby
kinds.
In there laying in the bed, butt naked, waiting for grown men to come in to have sex with his
daughter. Where was the mother? Did they say anything about the mother?
Didn't say anything about the mother.
That's amazing.
Just said the father. And when I saw that, I couldn't believe it. It was so horrible. It was just horrible.
But that just shows you how out of control these white male are if they think they can do that and get away with it. That to me, that's just no boundaries.
That's right.
You think your privilege got you to this level now? Your white privilege have you there? Oh my God.
And you can't blame Obama for a man who has a kind of mentality. You know, this is before Obama leaves office. Imagine when he leaves office, white men will be doing some bizarre stuff worse than that.
And then we have another hot. Yes, you're right. Then we have another hot topic. They have sent out, and I sent you the text, Ashira, Miss Hattie, Canty. I sent it to all of y'all. About the UPS, they think that they trying to say ISIS them have bought over $32,000 worth a $30,000 uniforms. I got to go back. I can't pull it up while I'm on the thing. They bought these uniforms, UPS uniforms, and ordered them. And they trying to find out who have these uniforms. And they got they believe they are terrorists in America, have bought these uniforms, over 30,000 or more UPS uniforms. And it set off a red flag, is what it did. Because
sure,
you know, the UPS,
well,
it set off a red
purchase UPS uniforms? I thought that that has to be purchased through the UPS. How do you go online and purchase UPS uniforms? Let me see. Can I type that up? So did they say that?
What? No, like I sent it to you. I texted it to you. You got
I
it in your phone.
I saw that long text. I didn't have a text.
Ashira,
you could go get attorney contractors.
I'm Black Rose on the Radio King. Then you remember that?
Okay,
Black Rose.
Black
Rose.
You can get attorney's contractor to make up any kind of contraband and to make it look authentic. You'd be surprised, Black Rose, how you can get anything done with the Chinese contractor. That's why it's very difficult to tell the fake.
And that is so true, Jackie.
On the Amazon about how you have a person walking in the streets with a UPS uniform and they don't have no UPS truck.
That is what they want you to pay attention to. That is what they asking the public to pay diligent attention to this. They say if you see a UPS man in a uniform or woman and they don't have a truck nowhere around, they want you to pay close attention and contact the police right away.
Okay, let me read this little piece right here because I did key in UPS uniforms as if I wanted to purchase some. And so I did see several articles about that. And then there is a store, a webpage, truthorfiction.com. And it says, the e-rumor says that $32,000 worth of UPS uniforms have been purchased on eBay. And they may be destined for use by bad guys who want to use them to get into various facilities, blah, blah, blah. The truth. A spokesman for UPS says there are no missing uniforms and there was no such sale on eBay. He also denies the New Jersey story, and we have not found any independent substantiation of the story. That's why you gotta check this stuff. You got to check it, and keep checking it. Now, just because
they weren't stolen,
I don't know if they were stolen or not. But
I'm going to tell you something. A lot of this stuff, I don't mean to cut you off, Black Rose. A lot of this stuff be true, but they do not want to panic the public. Just like the people over there in France. They trying to say they had already had an update about this attack. Like knew something was kind of going on, coming. But they didn't want to frighten the people, and they didn't tell the people. And that's what the American government is, and not only that, other governments. They know stuff is about to happen, and they don't want to make themselves look bad because they can't catch it right then. And they don't want to frighten the public. That's the number one thing. Let's don't frighten the public.
Well, they frighten the public enough by putting out a whole bunch of propaganda and stuff anyway, though. I mean, the media is the one that's going around frightening everybody, telling people they're terrorists after us and all this old kind of off-the-wall stuff.
Black Rose, I think what, greetings to everyone, I think what she's talking about is a story I had reported on. You could go to the archives of Black Talk Radio News, and they have specific reports. They have specific reports about specific attacks, Iraqi intelligence, and not only Iraqi intelligence, Israeli intelligence told the French government, told the U.S., told all the NATO nations, all the ones that's fighting over there, that something was about to happen. And they told them the day before. And people want to talk about the conspiracy theories and whatnot. Conspiracies are real. But the Associated Press reported that. That was my main source. I found other sources. But for those people, like y'all was saying earlier, that only if it come from a white news organization will you believe it. Uh-huh. Well, it don't get no more whiter and no more, what they call mainstream than Associated Press. And so they reported it, and Russia Today been reporting it, and they had forewarning. And I talked about the reason they didn't want to frighten the public is not because they didn't want people going around scared. It's because they didn't want them to stay home and not spend money. Just like we're talking about a black boycott and stuff that. Just think, it was those football games last Sunday.
They will sacrifice the citizens.
No, I don't think. I know.
They sacrifice. Well,
there's nothing new.
I'm not even.
There's nothing new.
But,
But Scotty, you're exactly right, because in researching this Paris attack today, there were Charlie Hebdo, that newspaper, the same one that was bombed a few months ago or whatever. Charlie Hebdo had even reported that there were going to be some attacks. One of the hospitals in France was alerted that morning that there were going to be some attacks. For a number of people. Yes, yes. So, Scotty, you're exactly right. And I think on that note,
Least give me the choice to stay home.
You know, I don't know if we can find out about this or not. I didn't believe it. I just couldn't believe it. But they said whoever owned that theater there in Paris, France, that was where the people were getting shot from up in the balcony, they said they just sold that theater a week prior to that. I heard that on something.
The owner of the theater was Zionist Jews.
And then had that theater for 100 years.
And they sold it a week before.
They were warned.
True?
Yes.
That's really true.
Yes, it's mainstream reports.
That's what I heard.
That's really accurate.
You're
going to hear a lot of stuff now, y'all.
No, but I do this for a living.
Is that accurate information or not?
Yes,
I wonder.
I'm telling you, it is. It is.
I do this
for a living, just like what's his name? Bill O'Reilly, just like Don Lemon, just like all of them. This is what I do. I run a news radio station, so I'm not going to tell y'all nothing that I haven't confirmed with at least two or three sources. I also know how they operate. I had a top secret.
So it's documented. How? When did they sell it? 2 days before? 3 days? A week before?
Say that again.
When did they sell it? The people that own that theater. How close to this event?
I don't remember those details. I would say 2 months, something like that. It might have been months. I'm not sure if it was weeks or months. So I'm going to be honest with you.
Wow.
But I do know Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister, and the Israeli, they sent diplomatic cables warning France. So the Israeli intelligent Mossad and all of them sent them a warning, sent the U.S. a warning. The Iraqis that's fighting them too sent the cable to France, to the U.S. And so they knew, and the way they tried to play it off was like, well, we get these kind of things all the time, and they getting calls every day from the Israelis and the Iraqis and warning about an attack. That's like they call the Tet Offensive is what they doing. Anybody know anything like Vietnam where they just pick a day, a date, and just go on mass killing sprees? That's what Tet Offensive was. And so, they hope that they can stop it. You know what I'm saying? But if they don't, well, you see the result. If they don't stop it. So they making a conscious decision. Do we shut down our economy for 2 days or 3 days until we can catch these people and warn the general public? No, we're not going to issue any kind of warning. And then,
get that money,
Get that money. If it happened, it happened.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's the cost of doing business. Huh.
In actuality, let me just say this really quick. I want to play one more clip, too, before we go on break, and then we can come right back with you, Canty. But if you guys remember, when 9/11 happened, it was something with the ownership of that building. Somebody stole parts of the building or something like that. I can't quite recall it right now, but I remember during that time, I'm not new to this. I'm true to this. I've been doing this, okay? When we were researching all about 9/11, I was on that like white on rice because I knew that was some fake crap when I woke up in the morning and saw the planes.
Yeah, that was stinky all the time from day one, wasn't it?
That was from day one. They almost kicked me off my little stupid job I was working at that time because I was breaking it down so tough for them. But anyway, somebody that had owned that portion of the soccer, it was something with that. I can't recall right now.
Well, the owner of the towers, he took out hundreds of millions of dollars insurance
Larry Silverstein.
Oh,
his name is Larry Silverstein. He owned, he owned it. He owned the Twin Towers.
I hadn't heard that one either.
Yes.
There you go. Well, look, I want to play this quick 2-minute clip, and then we're going to take a quick break. This is, let me see, which one I want to play. I want to play, let me do this about crisis actors, because this is important. We have to understand this whole deal. We've mentioned crisis actors before. I have a few clips on crisis actors with this whole Paris attack deal. Crisis actors are these people that are actors, and they hire them to come out and pretend like they were involved in these attacks, or it was their family member that was killed. These people never produce a tear. They sometimes even lie through the interviews, like, you know, oh, my mom didn't just die. If somebody come and interview me because something happened to my parents, you can't talk to me. I can't speak right now. My mom was just attacked. My father, my grandmother. I don't want to talk to you on CNN. I don't have nothing to say to you. I'm distraught. So that's when you know that these people are crisis actors. How are you coming on TV giving a thorough, intelligent? I mean, they be like they just get out the conference room at the DOD, at the Department of Defense. I mean, they know everything. And he came down with the R-15, such and such. I'm like, how the hell you know that? I thought you was just some common citizen and your loved one just got killed. You know, but anyway, I want to play this. This is, Boom, Exposed Crisis Actors. Let me see if this thing will play for us.
Special thanks to the person who sent me this. You know who you are. Thank you so much. It seems this woman just has the worst luck in the world. She was at Sandy Hook. She was at the Boston bombing. And now it seems she was in Paris right when it got shot up. This terrorist attack.
I'm going to pause that quickly. Now, on YouTube, he's actually showing a collage of this the same woman.
Oh, gosh.
She had somebody die at Sandy Hook. She was in the midst of the Boston bombing attack. Now she in Paris. So that's why he's saying this woman has to have the worst luck. And that's what you notice. Watch these stories when they first come out. That's the only reason why I check out the news, just so I can decipher the BS. And when you look at the, you will see the same people over and over.
Goodness.
Just like this case with the boy that shot up the movie theater, the one looking like the Joker with the red hair. That lady that is portraying herself, I said it right, as his lawyer, she was at the damn Sandy Hook. Talking about one of her children just got killed, some old crazy mess. But anyway, let me get back to
this. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, friends, we have our first exposed crisis actor. Yeah, this is exposed. This is fake as can be. This is. Whoever caught this, thank you. And I'm not trying to take credit for what you found. But I don't know who you are. The person who sent it to me said he had saw it. So whoever caught this, thank you. And I follow the big channels, and none of them had brought this out yet. This is bombshell. This is proof. Sandy Hook, Boston bombing, Paris. The same woman. We got the same crisis actor. She's just a fake crying all this. This whole thing is exposed. This whole thing is fake. Do not give your energy into whatever they are trying to pull with this. This is government orchestrated at its finest. Cannot put your trust in man. You do not let the fear porn get you, because the fearful do not enter into the kingdom of God. That is what it says in Revelation. accept Jesus Christ, the only begotten, in your heart, be washed in the bloody shed that day on the cross. Live by the words he preached, because he preached love. Love you, fear the Most High, the Holy Father, God, I am the way in the Bible. Believe in your heart, God has raised his only.
Okay, he went on the Jesus rant then, but so basically, I had to play that one for Mother Dunning because he did his whole Jesus Christ thing, and he said the main thing, fear. We cannot be fearful. This is how we learn. Oh, can't he? Come on now. So we can't let these people run us into this fear mongering. So let's take a quick break and we'll come right back.
Television where they took this black woman down in Selma, Alabama, and knocked her right down on the ground, dragging her down the street. You saw it. You're trying to pretend like you didn't see it because you knew you should have done something about it and didn't. This showed the sheriff and his henchmen throwing this black woman on the ground. On the ground. And Negro men standing around doing nothing about it. Saying, well, let's overcome them with our capacity to love. What kind of phrase is that? Overcome them with our capacity to love. And then it disgraces the rest of us because all over the world, the picture is flashed showing a black woman with some white brutes with their knees on her, holding her down, and black, full-grown black men standing around watching her. Why, you are lucky to let you stay on Earth, much less stay in the country.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
All right, and we are back, and let me see.
Star 6-1.
All right, we forgive you, King B. We know.
We're going for a station break anyway.
oh, excuse me. I'm getting like you, Candy. Jesus. Okay, anyway.
This is very scary.
Very scary. Press *61 if you'd like to speak. Let me play another quick clip, and then we can have a little dialogue around these clips. Let's see. Let's play this one.
Guess what? It hasn't even been 48 hours since these attacks occurred in Paris, with over 120 people being killed, many more being injured. Yeah, not much time has gone by, and there's already evidence which goes on to suggest that this was indeed a false flag event. Now, in the case of what has gone on in Paris, we already have ISIS claiming responsibility. The authorities in France have gone on to basically confirm this as well. And, well, that right off the bat tells you it's a false flag, because right here, and this came out a few months ago, as reported on by Zero Hedge, secret Pentagon report reveals the U.S. created ISIS as a tool to overthrow Syria's President Assad. All right?
Paul, did we hear that? Okay. All right, I'm Paul.
Odd. All right, and there's plenty of more evidence which goes on to suggest the same thing, okay? NATO, the West, they created ISIS as a mercenary group to do their dirty work in the Middle East. I'm just using this one example here to prove what I'm saying. But you can research this, and there's so much evidence which goes on to support
research. Always
getting
that
out of the way. So let's just disregard this for the sake of argument. Let's pretend that ISIS is not a Western-sponsored mercenary group. Let's just pretend, yeah, that's not the case. And let's check this out. Well, what's this? Oh, This is an interview with Patrick Pillow. He's an EMT, and he was even the chronicler at Charlie Hebdo as well. And this guy went on radio, like, on the same day these attacks occurred, conducted an interview in which he stated that the Paris SAMU, that's the EMT unit in Paris, were conducting a multi-site attack exercise at the very same time this real attack occurred. And this multi-site exercise not only involved the EMTs, but also police forces and firemen as well. Wow.
Always a drill.
Wow,
always
that's quite a coincidence there. That's quite a coincidence, if I might say so myself. And if you look at the history of false flag events, there's always a drill running at
that's
the same
right.
exact
Thank
time
you.
For Thank the same you. Exact mm-hmm. scenario. You look at 9/11. You look at the 7/7 bombing in London in 2002. We had the same exact thing. Drills being conducted at the same exact time for the same exact scenario. Okay? And these are confirmed false flags as well. I mean, 9/11, is it really even a debate anymore? Really? I mean, Building 7 falling at free fall speed, you know, homogeneously just crumbling to the ground, not even touched by a plane or any kind of debris. Yeah, right. Controlled demolition, obviously, false flag event. And it looks the same here with these drills being conducted at the same exact time in Paris on Friday the 13th, 2015. So, you got all that going on. Now, check this out as well. This struck me as extremely odd. The CIA director met with the French security chief just weeks before these Paris attacks. And you know what this meeting was in regards to? Homeland security in France. Yeah. I mean, how often does this go on, really? I find this coincidental, beyond coincidental. It's very suspicious. So, yeah, I mean, it doesn't end. And check this out, too. I found this really interesting. Did you know that the owners of the Bataclan, where most of this attack in Paris occurred, I think about 80 to 100 people died at the Bataclan. Did you know that the owners of this place were Zionists and they sold the theater 2 weeks before? Okay. And by the way, this is after 40 years of supposedly owning the place? Now let's think. Do you really believe that the Bataclan would get any more business after these attacks? Do you think it's even going to remain open? I think they'll probably turn it into some sort of memorial, right? There is no way that place will make any more money. So it only makes sense that if you had prior knowledge, you would sell it, right? You would put it on the market and get rid of it. So I'm not saying that's definitely the case here. It just looks suspicious. Yeah, any more information on this, please drop it in the comment section below or message me on Twitter or Facebook.
Okay, so we'll just stop him right there. What do you think about that, Canty? He did mention it being sold.
That thing, I've heard Dr. Short mention that to me, and we got to pray for Dr. Short's security, as well as this young man who did his research reporting about the Zionist Jews owning the theater. See, Zionists are ruthless, unrelenting, and fanatical. If they thought that this underground message was catching like on like grass fire, they will neutralize Dr. Short. They will neutralize this guy. Anyone that is about they have the ability to reach people who get a ticking brain left. People are now allowing the mass media to dictate their thought processes for those still hear news. But too many people just got earphones in their ears to hear music. So when something this monstrous takes place, Paris, is Paris burning? It is the mainstream media, their chore is to get you to believe the narrative as to how they want you to see it.
They create the narrative how they want us to see it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it goes back to the day this. We got the assassination of JFK, the assassination of Dr. King, Bobby Kennedy, Malcolm X, the strange killing of Stokely Carmichael, the strange death of Adam Clayton Powell Jr., and so many more. Mm. But Israel has in this country alone over 475 agents in this country alone. Mm. And they're not here to teach Bible study or to be the good big brother. They are here to make sure the politicians either do it their way or they will be annihilated politically, right. If not mortally. They will not allow not one politician, including the spiritual leader, to dare expose what the Zionists are after.
Yeah, I want to hear what Mother Dunning has to say, Canty.
Yeah.
Mother Dunning was, she kind of wanted to know a little bit more information about ISIL and the Paris attacks and all of that. So, Mother Dunning, do I need to play some more clips? I have several of them discussing this Paris attack. What are your thoughts so far?
No, she ain't here.
Delta, come on now. Jesus, why you be messing up the flow like that? That's what I don't get.
May I say something?
Yes, please.
While we're waiting on Mother Dunn.
Man, I'm hanging okay. Mother Dunn. No, we're not getting ready to keep playing games. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, we were talking about evidence of these things tying in together. This is something that happened, you know, quite a while back. But it's out now, so it's not no whether it happened or not. But you remember the Oklahoma bombing, which was the worst bombing U.S. has had since before the the 2011 thing. So
yep.
Timothy McVeigh, you know, everybody knows Timothy McVeigh is the one who was responsible. So it came out, you know, that the FBI was paying for his mortgage before the bombing. Then it was paying for his mortgage after. Why would we want to do that? Why would we want to help somebody who destroyed so many, you know, lives? That doesn't make sense. So we should not be surprised that these things that are happening now, there's some kind of tie-in before and after of the incident occurs. It's like with the theater, you know, there was a tie-in. You know, it's tie-ins to it if we just open up our minds, do a little research, like Scotty has done, you know, and just do some fact-finding and then make our own decisions, not be spoon-fed by the media, because we know who they work for. They're not going to tell us what we need to know. They're going to tell us what the corporations want us to know. And like Black Rose said, it's all about the fear factor and creating the problem. So, there is a problem. Oh, but we've got the solution. You know, that's how it works, you know. There is a plan behind this Paris attack, fake or false, you know, fake or real. There's a plan it's something that's coming behind this, in other words. It's something, it didn't just happen. So,
can I share something else on that same vein, Asha?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
This is what I'm wondering, because once you get the fear factor rolling in the correct manner, once you get all of this stuff going, what you can do is, as a government, based upon things that are already in place, the Patriot Act, et cetera, then you put in more stuff to start your concentration camps right here in America. Mm-hmm. And yet, at the same time, it's kind of like throwing rocks and then hiding your hands behind your back, but then on the same of another hand, you take the Syrians, that the refugees, the women and the children, and you bring them in. Oh, come. But at the same time, you're getting ready to do something disastrous and dire to your own people, because you're going to excite these little Republican people, the ones who don't think for themselves, and those who are whatever a political party they are, and they are just they will be caught off guard totally because of this stuff. And so you start putting all of these other situations that will cause people who don't even have a clue what's coming down the pike right here on American soil.
Absolutely.
And so I think all of this is going to link itself up. And then one final thing, gas prices are down, 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 down. What's up with that? Is something really under $2?
You know it.
A gallon.
You know it.
Something is up. There's this global economy thing that has been orchestrated by the West and Europe. So that you can have an excuse to go in and do what you are wanting and going to do anyway.
And now,
Syria,
if you're reading
to wipe Syria off the face of the earth, your last stronghold of whatever you're
trying to do. As long as they don't have the Zionists in check, they can run amok. The Zionists can run amok and do as they please. The CIA can do as they please. And did y'all see this, the latest film by James Vaughn, about James Vaughn, Spectra? Anybody seen Spectra?
No.
Well, this is just a bit of a subliminal message as to what happens with a madman who is in a top position in government with the intelligence agency, and he runs now counter to what the mandate was that he was covering the agency was supposed to be working on. He's now working with the enemy to topple the world. So as far as we know it.
And is that who is that? That would be the multi-billionaires, wouldn't it? Would that really be?
Well, yeah, well, the big
people
corporations.
People, you're saying the Zionists, these corporations
it
crosses cultures, and I don't think there's any one common source. I don't see that so much as I just see it.
Zionists own the media. That alone tells you what is happening when they browbeat you into parroting whatever they are telling you about 9/11.
Yeah,
that's
this
JFK,
and
also this Paris,
Well, I'll tell you
they
one
just,
thing. After the Paris attacks, now the French government, the Parisian government, has actually enacted these new laws, and this same thing that happened after 9/11, they do not need a warrant to come and search your house. Now they can up the surveillance. So all of these attacks were just a prelude to, again, usher in what they want. I want to play this clip with Loretta Lynch saying how she don't want the police officers keeping any records of how many niggas they killed. She ain't got time for all that. She said, they got too much work to do. It's just too tedious and blah, blah,
too many
kittens. Yeah. So I want to play this. Can I move it?
Oh, well, good afternoon. By the way, I noticed, Madam Attorney General.
And where residents and law enforcement have a working relationship. So one of the ways in which Birmingham has been doing that is the program that you were referring to. Having police officers talk directly to young people through an exercise with the Birmingham Police Department. They're involved in these role-playing exercises. And it is a way of breaking down the barriers that are created by a uniform. Whether your uniform is dress blues or baggy pants, people will look at you from either side of where they stand and make a judgment oftentimes about what you mean, what you want to do, you know, your views about them. So by building those connections and letting young people work directly with law enforcement, frankly, that young person came to know that police officers were just like them. They had families. They had concerns. They cared about what was happening to the people they were working with. And I think, quite frankly, the most successful exercise was the one in which they do a role reversal, and the young people play the role of the police officers, and the police officers play the role of rowdy teenagers who won't get out of a park. And watching the young people deal with that, first of all, the officers' enjoyment, but if you've been a parent, you know what that's like. But watching the young people deal with that and having them come to understand just how hard a job it is to be a police officer, how many things you have to think about and balance every time you interact with someone, whether they're a young person or an older member of the community, and how easy it can be to let a situation escalate, and the importance of working to build those connections.
Well, we do have a trust deficit also with statistics. For instance, you know, we keep track of violent crime rates, but we don't have, and you tell me if the Justice Department, if you're going to try to fix this, but there doesn't seem to be a uniform way to keep track of when a police officer discharges his weapon. We don't feel as if there is not. I mean, right now, the best statistic is done by a newspaper, a news organization that's based in Europe. Mm-hmm. Here in the, I mean, The Guardian, I think, is doing this.
Yes.
That's kind of atrocious, is it not?
Yes. Well, I'm not going to comment on news organizations keeping numbers. I think they do a pretty good job sometimes. You know, you raise an important point about keeping track of what happens. I think one of the things that we have seen, however, with the recent incidents that have been captured on videotape, I think people have been able to see, people in the larger community have been able to see what members of minority communities have talked about really for decades, if not generations, about the different types of interactions that people can have with law enforcement, and also how, whether or not an officer is trained in calming a situation down or lets the situation escalate, they have seen the difference that that makes. It's been hard for people to understand if they haven't experienced it. If they haven't had that sense that there's a bit of a divide and a disconnect there. So while we don't have actual numbers, and frankly...
Why can't we do this? Why can't this become is this just something that Congress has to pass a law to, like, sort of make it mandatory that all police... you tell me, what would it take for you to be able to have these statistics at hand?
Well, one of the ways in which we're looking to gather information exactly on this front is through our work with local law enforcement. We do a lot of work with local law enforcement in a very collaborative manner. They often reach out to the department for technical assistance, for training. And sometimes we also, as you know, have police departments, right. I should say, under our jurisdiction in enforcement actions.
Ferguson, for instance, now is.
One of the things that we have been...
Correct. Am I right about that with Ferguson?
Well, Ferguson, we issued a report on Ferguson's practices that were not just about policing, but about the larger relationship of the municipality with the residents, which I will tell you, I think if you had the opportunity to read that...
It was a stunning... If read it. It was really sad.
But it illustrates the root causes of a lot of the feeling of disconnect that many members of minority communities feel towards the police, because the police are often the only face of government that they see. And so very often the police get the brunt of a lot of the frustration and the anger and confusion and dissatisfaction over municipal policies such as we saw in Ferguson. This exacerbates this divide and this trust, one of the things we're working on. But when we have a consent decree or even collaborative reform, we do impose record-keeping requirements on police departments. And what I will say is, no one likes extra paperwork. I hear that all the time. But they find it extremely helpful to, as you pointed out, Chuck, to be able to indicate how many times a police officer simply interacts with a member of the community? How many times does that interaction result in a ticket? How many times does it result in the officer having to draw their weapon? How many times does it result in shots being fired? And there actually are some police departments out there that do an excellent job of recording how many times a shot is fired, if a weapon is discharged, for example.
But you just said some police departments do a good job of this. We don't have a national system on this.
We don't.
Should we?
We don't. You know, I think one of the things we're focusing on with the Department of Justice is not trying to reach down from Washington and dictate to every local department how they should handle the minutiae of record keeping, but we are stressing to them that these records must be kept. A lot of times it's a resource issue for small departments. You know, the average size of a police department in this country is around 55 people.
Right.
You know, a lot of them are very small. And municipalities are challenged. This is not to say, not to excuse not doing this, because it is, in fact, a very important tool for tracking these interactions. So we encourage it. And we also are looking to encourage consistency of standards. As you've pointed out, you can get information from one department, but if you can't match it up or marry it up to other information, it may not give you a true picture. The real issues here, Chuck, I mean, the statistics are important, but the real issues are, what steps are we all taking to connect communities that often feel disenfranchised and disaffected with the police and back with government?
All right, let's talk about the rising crime rate.
Okay, so
basically, she tried to skate over it, as you can see. And he brought her back to, yeah, he brought her back to the question at hand. Are you going to require these police departments to keep records? And she basically said, we encourage.
Encourage.
Well, hell, anybody, my employer can encourage me to come in at 8, but if I want to come in at 9 and there's no repercussions, then, and so what? You didn't tell me that I needed to come in at 9. You just encouraged me to come in at 8. You didn't tell me I need to be there at 8 o'clock. So that's basically what was stated.
Yeah. Well, you know, in essence, what I think she's saying is this. She's saying that if a community locally can bully their citizens into being frightened of them, then we don't have to be held accountable. And they don't have to be held accountable.
Did she go to How to Feed Them Bull Crap School? Because that's what she just did. I mean, she just was full of a lot of empty words. I'm just, like, baffled listening to her. And what we try to do, well, this is what we are going to do. This is what we try to do. Well, you have to take in consideration that the only contact they have with authorities is with the police. So there may be a little bit friction there. But what we're going to try, I mean, please.
She went to the Hillary Clinton School of
Feed Me a Bunch of Bull.
Yeah, double
And I'll make no commitments. Wow.
The late Reverend Dr. Gardner T. Taylor, he always called it double talk claptrap.
Ooh, double talk claptrap.
She has, it's claptrap. She has this way of not answering your question.
Yeah.
And talking a whole lot of bull. That,
and saying nothing.
They're very good, but that's politics, though. That's what they do.
Yeah.
They learn.
You know what?
One
of the things I heard. I'm sorry, Black Rose. Mm-hmm. One of the things I heard is, "Let us raise your children."
Yeah.
Scott, I'm gonna have to go back and listen to that.
Let us steal more of your children. Let us steal more of your children. Because we want to do some more social engineering, and we need some subjects.
In this 20-minute, this whole interview is like about 22 minutes long. I just cut to that part. But you can just pull it up if you type in Loretta Lynch on police killing. You can pull it up. But I want to point out that she did the same thing that Obama and Bill Cosby often do is they slick call us thugs. She slick called us thugs when she said their only interaction with government is through the police.
Exactly.
How you know we don't go to the Capitol? How you know that we don't go to city council meetings and sit in on the city council meetings? I have here in Houston. So how do you know that? How do you know what type of life these children have? How do you know what their parents take them? You don't know if their parents take them on a tour to the Capitol. Or have them sitting in on school board meetings. I've sat in on school board meetings. So I mean, how can you say that? You know, she can say whatever she wants to say. But my point is, once again, slick calling black folks thugs. These bougie blacks tend to quite often do that. Bill Cosby, Obama, and she did the same thing. Let's take a quick break and we'll come right back.
Tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
Wow, look at this news. Wow. Executive Order 13603, Obama authorizes slave labor on a large scale on American soil. Now, you got to ask yourself, why would Obama do this? Why would any president do this? Wow. President Obama signed his own executive order, which allowed for the president to enact slave labor on a large scale on American soil. For the Americans who have been targeted for FEMA camp detention, most will voluntarily self-incarcerate in order to avoid starvation for both their families. Third world population control using food and primary weapons has been a long matter of official covert U.S. national policies. According to Executive Order 13603, the president or the head of any federal agency that he shall designate can conscript persons of outstanding experience and ability without compensation in both peacetime and times of national emergency. I can hear the Obama supporters now as they will write to me and say, Obama would never do that. You are drinking the Kool-Aid. Well, here it is. Read for yourself. Section 502. Consultants, the head of each agency otherwise delegated functions under this order is delegated the authority of the president under Section 710 B and C of Act 50 to employ persons of outstanding experience and ability without compensation and to employ experts, consultants, or organizations. The authority delegated by the section may not be redelegated. This means that Obama and his fellow communists can seize any resource, property, or person at any time for any reason, including being able to force that person to perform assigned labor without being paid. Here it is. I guess it's another conspiracy theory or is a conspiracy fact. There's only one word for forced, uncompensated employment. That word is slavery. Congratulations, Obama. He has effectively repealed the 13th Amendment of the Constitution. My, my, my. Here you go. This article came out yesterday, June 23rd, 2015. Now you got to ask yourself, if this is enacted, what is the purpose? What is the agenda of it? My, my, my. I tell you what.
All right. Mother Hattie brought that executive order 13603 to our attention on her show a few months ago, and it's all online. You can YouTube it, Google it. I think it's on the whitehouse.gov's page also, I believe. But, I mean, you know, all the executive orders are listed, so just type it in and you can check it out yourself. What do you think about that, Canty, Aja, Mother Hattie?
I always maintain Obama is nothing more and nothing less than a modern day Manchurian candidate.
Hmm.
He is non-redeemable.
You gotta explain to people what's a Manchurian candidate. Some people may not know that.
Manchurian candidate is one who has been brainwashed to do anything he's told to do by the government, which would include killing innocent persons under the orders of the government. This person's like a robot to carry out the orders. And in the long run, excuse me, please.
I'm glad he muted himself with that cough.
I see.
Be nice.
Yes.
I'm always nice.
Yeah.
I love King B.
Okay,
go ahead.
I know. We're talking about a president that never took care of his base. He was asked early on when he first became president, he pardoned both Jack Johnson and Marcus Garvey. This piece of crap said, oh, it's a waste of time. No way. Man, those two brothers been dead forever. They have no threat to anyone, but just the idea to clear their name. They were always innocent of the charge, but because of their color, they would never have, they luckily weren't lynched, but the very idea, two powerful black men, one in sports, one in politics, was gutted by the system.
You got this president, the first black president, only in skin. He has no mindset to do the right thing for his base that took, that invested in this man. Black people invested in this man to do the right thing, to right the wrong that was done down through the years. And you know, he is the last vested interest to deal with the inhumane prison farm in Louisiana called Angola Prison Farm. He is the last president possibility that would have the humaneness to declare states' rights is over when it comes to dealing with a prison farm like Angola. Mm-hmm. And our people are so dumb and blind, we're going to these churches where we're being entertained and so it's anesthetizing our brain. We don't want to hear any more bad news. We want to hear the good news. We want to hear the word. We don't want to hear the word that's setting us up for our third Holocaust, which I maintain we have already entered the abyss of our third Holocaust. Some blacks can't tell you the first two Holocausts. All right? They can't tell you the first two. But we are facing a sort of annihilation. And I'm telling you now, y'all, keep your passports at close hand, because there will be a time when you're going to have to get the hell out of here before we are not rounded up and put in those concentration camps. Especially, you know, they know who we are. They know who we are because they hear us talking. So they know that we are the strays. We are the strays. They're seeing how far we would be able to alert those who still got a ticking brain left.
Yeah,
I might want to take a second look at the so-called.
Well, we can say that, but where are you going? Where are you going? These people are
going anywhere. But I will go anywhere with black
stuff all over the world.
No, but I'm saying is that there are places in the world where people don't mind kicking ass. Okay.
Tell me where.
I'm telling you, I'll give you Cuba. I'll give you Cuba. I'll give you Haiti. I'll give you places like that black people didn't mind and still don't mind kicking ass. The Haitian people been under the yoke of oppression and they're still fighting back since January 1st, 1804. France made them pay 150,000 francs in gold for compensation of their slaves. And then to make sure France got their money from the freedom fighters, they formed a blockade. The biggest trade in the world was Haiti at the time. Thomas Jefferson
looked out on his plantation. It's the richest colony in the world.
Yeah, and Thomas Jefferson looking out of his plantation, see, his slave was doing the same thing. He formed an embargo. So it wasn't Cuba that not had an embargo first. It was Haiti. And you must understand that this is the evil empire. Blacks don't want to deal with this, but it's going to deal with them. Because like cancer, if you deal with the cancer, it's going to deal with you. This is the evil empire. I don't want to be in a situation where I know it was coming and didn't do anything except to just sit idly by and let these devils self-destruct with black folks caught in the middle of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, we have a poetress that's going to share a piece of poetry with us. And let me welcome her in. Her name is Fatima. Fatima, are you ready to share some poetry with us?
Namaste, Fatima.
Fatima. You're up. Look at her. Not even ready. I thought you were ready, Fatima.
Well, you know, a lot of times you're having technical difficulty.
This is true. This is true. Okay, well.
Sometimes we can try to push back in and you can't.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You need to get a new phone.
Yeah. Or either your phone is acting a fool.
Your phone wouldn't just the act. The phone wasn't just tonight acted out. It was acting out a while.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. Is this Brother Brown?
Yeah, good evening, everybody.
Hey,
Brother Brown.
Oh. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
We've been missing your wise conversation and info.
Well, I've been busy. I have some stuff to do, so. I've been in and out of town, so I couldn't do what I needed to do.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Understandable.
Mm-hmm. Well, tonight we're talking about the Paris false flag. You know, people are calling that a false flag attack. We just played a clip of U.S. Attorney General Loretta Lynch, how she said that it's a little tedious for police departments to have to keep records, each and every number, and each and every police department keeping a number account of how many people are being killed. Although The Guardian, which is a UK newspaper, they keep a count. It floats around on Black Twitter every day. And the last that I saw was like 1,000. The count was up to 1,000 people being killed by police. And that's nationwide. Let me see. I do have another quick clip that I would like to show. I told you I had some clips that I really wanted to play tonight. And I do. I usually try to download quite a few clips. And I don't get a chance to play them all. But I'm just going to play a short clip of this one. This is another one on the Paris attacks. I'm going to try to get our poetress in. Just a second.
All like right. I've stated many times in the past, ISIS is nothing but a fabricated terror group. They do not exist. All stories based around ISIS are nothing more than propaganda. Because, again, they do not exist. And to confirm that, at times, you will actually hear some real truth in the media. It's very rare, but you'll hear it here and there. Take a listen to what this French journalist says. He says the same thing I've been saying all along. ISIS doesn't exist. They're a fabricated group by the U.S. government. So with that being said, understand all events regarding the so-called terror group ISIS are nothing more than fabrications. Take a listen to this journalist live on RT say this, so you'll understand when I say in my past several videos that what happened in Paris, France is nothing more than a hoax. Take a listen.
There is no such thing as ISIS. ISIS is a creation of the United States. We know that from official sources of the U.S. military themselves. The declassified documents from the Defense Intelligence Agency have confirmed that and of the media campaign, which is essentially a propaganda campaign to make people in France fear Muslimism, which aims to divide and conquer European and Middle Eastern and African and the world's population, for that matter, and to make them submit to a global order that does not serve the interests of most of the people on this planet, but that does serve the interests of a very few ruling elite, a very small, tiny, and particularly tyrannical ruling elite.
Now take a listen to this German journalist say this, basically the same thing. Wars are fabricated from behind the scenes. He's coming out, telling the truth about what he's been doing for decades, lying to the public, pushing government propaganda. Take a listen.
It is not right what my colleagues do on, and have done in the past, because they are bribed to betray the people, not only in Germany, all over Europe. There is always people behind it to push for war. And this is not only politicians, this is journalists too. And I just have written in the book how we have betrayed in the past our readers just to push for war. And because I don't want this anymore. I'm fed up with this propaganda. We live in a banana republic, and so your brain more and more is brainwashed through these guys. And your question was, is this only the case with German journalists? No, I think it is especially the case with British journalists, because they have a much closer relationship. It is especially the case with Israelis, of course, with French journalists, for a part, not that big as with German or with British journalists. It is the case for Australian journalists, for journalists from New Zealand, from Taiwan, from, well, there's many countries in the Arab world, like Jordan, for example, like Oman, the Sultanate of Oman. There's many countries where this happens, where you find people to claim they are respected journalists, but if you look behind them, you'll find they are puppets on a string of the Central Intelligence Agency.
Now take a look at this video. Basically, a CIA, aka CNN production, promoting ISIS. This is nothing but fear porn. You create fear in the public. You're going to see with this video that when you hear this man speak, this is nothing but an actor behind a mask. Again, nothing but fear. Fear equals control. Complete fabricated group, just like the journalist said.
In a 55-minute film, he appears only at the end, but his voice resonates all the way to Washington, where tonight a U.S. official tells CNN the intelligence community is analyzing this video, trying to determine this man's origin.
And we're here with the soldiers of Bashar. You can see them now digging their own graves in the very place where they were stationed.
You cannot hear, if you cannot see, that this is nothing but a CIA production. This is why you believe the lies, you believe the propaganda that they're pushing.
This masked ISIS militant gloats as he presides over the executions of Syrians apparently captured.
Okay, I'm just going to cut that right there because, you know, I really download these clips specifically for Mother Dunning and for people who can't, you know, really see. See the truth and what's going on. Let's see. Let's take a caller right here. 299-435-5.
Hey, Mr. Black Rose, how you doing?
Hey,
Brother Ron.
How you doing?
All right, I'm good. Yeah, I've been listening to y'all shows. I really enjoy them.
Good, thank you. We enjoy your shows
excellent.
As well.
All right, that was cool. It's all right. But, yeah, I want to just talk about, you know, like the Paris thing. I think it's fascinating. I haven't been able to catch everything on the show this time around. But if you go back 50 years ago, Malcolm X was denied entry into France because they was warned that he was going to be assassinated. So they refused him entry into France. And he was, like, not allowed to stay in England, and they sent him back to America. And what people don't understand, like, November 14th, it marked the 100th anniversary of the killing of Booker T. Washington. On October 18th, 1915, Booker T. Washington wrote in the New York Age about the United States occupying Haiti because Haiti was in debt because it was forced to pay back white reparations to France and other colonized nations. And Booker T. Washington was writing in support of Haiti, said, please do not mistreat the Haitian people. They are very proud people. They are very fighting people. They are very, you know, they are very great people. And don't mistreat them. And then all we know, he's dead. And like the old timers back in the day say, he was poisoned by a Haitian. But Booker T. Washington's last public speech was at Yale University, home of Skull and Bones. And he shook the hand of William Howard Taft, the former president, future Supreme Court Justice, who was also a Skull and Bones member. And you look at who replaced Booker T. Washington in Tuskegee. Was Robert Moulton. Robert Moulton was a U.S. Army spy. His spy master was Spingarn, the guy who did the NAACP, Spingarn, the medal and all that stuff.
Uh-huh.
That was his spy master. You can look all this stuff up. You can look at Elijah Muhammad. His national secretary was John Ali. He was an FBI informant. And he's still alive. And you can look all this stuff up. You know, all this stuff is available to us to look up and you start understanding that the terrorism that they talk about is always an inside job. The guy who planned Pearl Harbor was Admiral Yamamoto. Guess where he went to school at?
Where?
Yeah, Harvard University. Yeah, Harvard University. He was trained at Harvard. We talking about to fly airplanes over here. It's like they taught the 9/11 people how to fly airplanes over here. Okay? So Robert E. Lee went to West Point. You know what I'm saying? So, who gave Osama bin Laden all those weapons and training back in the 80s when they were fighting against the Russians? We did that. We trained our terrorists. So, ISIS is the CIA. I mean, the CIA are the biggest drug traffickers on the planet. Now, you got November 22nd coming up, the assassination of President Kennedy. And you look at the assassination of President Kennedy, their rabbit holes start getting real deep.
Oh, yes.
It's always an inside job. Because Oswald was working for us. You had several Oswalds. It wasn't just one Oswald.
No.
And he was working for the CIA, working for the FBI. It's always inside job. Even Stokely Carmichael, Kwame Ture, knew that the FBI killed Dr. King, because when Dr. King came to town, when he used to come to Memphis, he always had an all-black security detail from the Memphis Police Department. I interviewed some of those brothers from the Memphis Police Department. The last time he came to Memphis, he had no protection. And the person who ran the police and fire department was Frank Holloman, who was the number three for J. Edgar Hoover for almost 30 years in Washington, D.C.
Mm.
So, I mean, you could all this stuff. So, black folks, wake up. We can't be a fool forever now.
Right.
I'm sorry for co-oping y'all platform. I just wanted to get out there.
Oh,
I appreciate
y'all.
Thank you. That was great information.
Thank you.
That's what I love about
Dr. Hurd. He's getting ready to bring you the information, and he's going to tell you, go and look it up. That's what people need to do. Go research it. You don't have to take nobody's word for it. Go punch it in.
I did not know Booker T. Washington was assassinated, was killed.
I didn't either.
They never speak of that.
They never speak on that.
See, that's why it's so important that you put this in writing. If you've done the research, make up some little pamphlets and kick them out there.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Hurd. Thanks for calling in. We sure appreciate you and love you.
Thank you.
Appreciate y'all. We love y'all, too. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, brother. See, the tragedy is when a person who steps out and is trying to illuminate our mind, they get bumped off, and then the family don't raise holy hell. You remember when they found Ron Johnson's body on that flight, that all the planes go the same direction? His plane had a different flight plan. And when they found his body in the wreckage of the plane that went down, military official said there was a bullet hole in the back of his head.
Right.
We heard nothing from his family members. You heard nothing from the media follow-up, even the black media.
We don't know what threats were given to the family members either.
But some of these family members are showing a checking account that they had before and now they get now. And they said, you got your message. Come on now. You can buy a nice mobile, a property, a timeshare property in the Caribbean or in the Mediterranean, all your jewelry and fur coats you want, fabulous home. Come on.
All right, we have our poetress in now. We only have about 7 minutes, so she's going to share a little poetry with us. So welcome in, Fatima.
Thank you.
And namaste to you.
Namaste.
Yes. What do you have for us?
Okay, I've never been this good. Never seen this part of me. All the time we have is borrowed, so feel no sorrow. Feeling like a supreme being, full of knowledge, the divine. I am a supreme being. I am a black woman of knowledge. I am divine.
Beautiful, powerful, I am. Two most powerful words, I am.
Yes, they are.
Existence, what you are. Love it. Thank you so much. Do you have another one
Thank
to read for us?
Sure.
Okay.
Let's see. I am a grand entity, and you don't even know it. An explorer of myself. And I suggest everyone do the same. When you start exploring yourself, the positive and the negative of your true self. And that's all for that one.
Oh, wow. Thank you. Thank you, Fatima. You'll have to come on and share some more of your poetry with us. Yeah, I thought I had your mic open earlier, but that was another 901 number, so I thought that was you calling in. That was Dr. Hurd calling in. So, Fatima, you're actually a hairstylist in Memphis.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. how can people reach out to you and see some of your work? Do you have an Instagram page?
I do.
Your work and maybe book an appointment.
Yes, Jacuda. It's the last name. The first name is Fatima.
Spell that for us, please. Can you spell it for us?
Yes, Fatima Jacuda, Jakuto. And I can be reached at 901-691-1187.
I saw some of your work on Instagram. You are extremely talented. You should be working with the stars. I mean, the coloring and the cut and the styles, they are phenomenal.
Oh, thank you.
I was very, very impressed.
Yes, I'm all about healthy hair care. It's all about healthy hair.
Okay. And can you give us a hair tip, something that women or men can practice at home to keep their hair healthy so it won't be so damaged when they come to you in need of extreme repairs? So what can we do, like, in terms of conditioning or something like that? Give us a hair tip. We should have you come on with hair tips also. That would be great.
Yeah, you can always use an intensifying conditioner. And you can sit with it either under the dryer, or you don't have to be under the dryer, but you get better results with the heat. So it can penetrate in and go through your hair follicles. And also, sometimes it's good to manipulate the scalp, like when you're shampooing your hair, manipulate your scalp to loosen it up. And do not always, please do not pack your hair with grease. It clogs up the follicles of the hair.
Ah. Okay, so don't clog it up, but use some type of oil or some type of moisturizer, but just don't
pack. Or hot oil treatment, because we have to add moisture to the hair. And just because, you know, a lot of us have gone natural, but just because you're natural does not mean that you don't need moisture. You always have to have moisture. So, you know, if you don't do a conditioner, do a hot oil treatment, something to that nature, you have to add some moisture to the hair.
Okay. Add some moisture, definitely, because I know I use mustard seed oil on my hair. You know, my hair is natural. And I use castor oil. I've gone back to using castor oil.
Yes.
And it truly, truly, truly helps my hair. And, of course, I use my shea butter from head to toe. So, love it. Keep your hair moisturized. Thank you so very much, Fatima, for sharing your
poetry.
Thank you, Fatima.
Anytime, Queens. Anytime.
Yes. And the hair tips. And we're looking forward to you coming to Houston.
Yes. I'm looking forward to it.
Absolutely. Well, I want to read, before we go off air, quickly, I want to read our Women United statement that's in reference to the attacks on Black women. This is a working statement from Women United regarding the attacks on Black women, such as Rekia Board, Ayanna Stanley-Jones, Sandra Bland, and many others. Women United denounce and detest vicious attacks on Black women. We have historically been plagued with and seems to have escalated in more recent times. We are 100% human beings and deserve to be protected and with equal justice under the law and other entities. The recent vicious behavior and disrespect of the lives of Black women must stop. These are unconscionable, deplorable acts and actions occurring in a country that considers itself to be civil and democratic. A plan of action must be adopted and implemented immediately to stop the terror on Black women. Women United is placing a call to action for all women groups, organizations, and men to rectify these crimes against the humanity of Black women, to make your statement and act to protect the humanity of our sisters. Contact Women United at women.united womenunited7777@gmail.com. That's women.united7777.